Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
That is the sound of an Asian elephant, beautiful, majestic, and very large. Well, not all of them. There is an elephant living in the wilds of Sri Lanka that is a little different. In fact, he's unique, set apart from all other known elephants in the world, Asian or African. That's because at only 5 feet tall at the shoulder, he is believed to be the first documented adult elephant, perhaps a wild animal of any kind, that has been recorded to have survived into adulthood with dwarfism. Joining us now is Vicky Croak, who covers the animal kingdom for us. Vicky, welcome back.
Hey, Jeremy, thank you.
Tell us about this elephant.
Oh, I love this elephant. He's really amazing. He was first observed in the wilds of Sri Lanka in 2013 in the southern part of the country in a big national park. He's probably, they estimate, 30 or 35 years old, which is prime of life for an Asian elephant. And physically, he's really robust. He's got a big, handsome head, kind of bumpy, big skull that elephants have. And he's just beautiful. The base of his trunk is wide and muscular. And his body is the same size as the other elephants. But his legs are really short. And it's obvious the second you see him. When you watch the videos of him, which people can do, we'll have them on the site.
We've got them at hereandnow.org, yeah.
You can hear the surprise in the voice of the biologist when he very first sees him.
First time we saw this man. Very short.
And also this week, Jeremy, I spoke with Prudhu Fernando, and he's a field biologist with the Center for Conservation Research in Sri Lanka. He wrote the scientific paper about this elephant. And Prudhu is a sober scientist, but when I asked him to describe the elephant, he starts off with a straightforward description, but then he quickly reveals his own sense of the animal's, I don't know, charm?
So it's only the fact that his legs are short that makes him different. Otherwise, he's a pretty well-built animal.
He is. I think he's beautiful, actually.
Yeah, he's like a Disney character. I mean, it's really amazing.
Like a Disney character. And how does he get along with the other elephants?
Well, that's one of the most remarkable parts of that. The first time that he was seen, he was sparring with a much bigger elephant. Mm. And it was the dwarf elephant who was picking on the big guy. He was the aggressor.
Both punching above his weight.
That's exactly right. And both of those elephants, by the way, were in must. And that's that seasonal hormonal period in which male elephants, their testosterone levels go to sometimes 50 or 100 times normal level. And it gives them, makes them really combative and can give them an edge in competing for females.
And you say he might be the only animal of any kind in the wild that has survived into adulthood with dwarfism?
That's right. So Prudhu Fernando, whom we spoke to, and the other authors in that scientific paper, they've scoured the literature, and they couldn't find another example of an adult wild animal with dwarfism. Mm. And really, it makes sense when you think about it. For most animals, you're either running from animals that want to eat you, or you're running at animals that you want to eat. So so animals with dwarfism are almost certainly they're born in the wild, but they have a huge disadvantage and they probably don't survive. Elephants don't hunt animals or run from them. They're mega herbivores, which is big plant eaters, and they're in a unique position to survive dwarfism.
So are there any disadvantages for elephants with dwarfism then?
Yes, and right from the start, you got to wonder how he survived infancy, because how did he suckle? You know, he's way down here. His mother's teats are way up there. And when elephants are first born, they don't really even know how to use their trunks. He had to get his mouth up to his mother, or maybe she lowered herself, maybe she was short. It's really unknown how he overcame that very first hurdle. But he roams outside that protected park. And there, from this bumpy evidence on his skin, we know that he's come into conflict with people. And that means that he, like lots of other solitary males, is a crop raider. So farmers shoot at these animals to drive them away. Much about the elephant is unknown. Prudhu, the conservationist, said the elephant vanishes for most of the year. He leaves the protection of the park. And I spoke with Prudhu about that, and here's what he had to say.
So he obviously also raids crops somewhere. We don't really know where his normal range is, because he's been now coming to the Udawalawe National Park during his must period, which is a couple of months a year. for an adult elephant. And we don't really know where he is the rest of the year.
They don't know where he is the rest of the year. Can't they track him?
They're hoping, he's really hoping to get a radio collar on this elephant, not only to know more about him, but also to keep him safe. And in particular, I mean, Sri Lanka is an interesting place for elephants. Sri Lanka has 1 to 2% of Asian elephant range in the world, but 10 to 20% of the Asian elephant population. And that means elephant density is super high there, which leads to human-elephant conflict. And the reality of that is, this is so shocks me, on average, one person and three elephants die each week during those kinds of conflicts. Hmm. I mean, the good news is that this short male has reached this age already. He's clearly negotiated his way in this tricky world. And now the conservationists are keeping their eye on him. Prudhoe's promised to stay in touch and give us updates on this elephant. He expects, at the very least, that we'll get to see him in the park this coming summer when the elephant goes through his must period and comes back to, trash talk the other big bulls.
We're speaking with Vicky Croak, who reports on the animal world for Here and Now and is, by the way, the author of the book Elephant Company. And Vicky, before I let you go, I do want to ask you about one other animal story that's been in the news. Just this week, the state of Illinois has passed a bill which, if it gets signed by the outgoing governor, is going to allow the hunting of bobcats, which has been banned there for about 40 years. We've seen other states do similar things with other animals that were really in trouble and maybe now aren't so much. But what do you make of this?
I'm fascinated by these rebounding populations. And usually in these kinds of fights, in one corner, often animal welfare, conservationists, which we do in this case, and in the other, farmers and hunters. And everyone fights over the real science of it. What intrigues me is that there was just a study recently about wolves, a very different species, but in that statistical survey, it was shown that sometimes when wolves are hunted in order to stop livestock predation, it has the exact opposite effect. Mm. More livestock is killed in the wake of that. And there's lots of reasons why, and complicated reasons why it might be. But the lesson to me is that whenever we try to play Mother Nature, it often backfires on us.
All right, Vicky, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.